Do you hear that? Master, kept me till I repent. Keep your head to the sky. Gave me the will to be free. You know, when we live in sin, we are not free. Gave me the will to be free. Purpose to live in reality. Found myself never alone. Changes came to make me strong. Step right up. Be a man. You need faith to understand. So we're saying for you to hear, keep your head in faith's atmosphere. Amen? So it had some music to it, but there was a message that the songwriter had in the song for people that was enlightening. And it was telling me, when I read the words now, it was telling me something that I really didn't realize then. Amen? And I know that in our walk with Christ, that one of the struggles that we all have at times is when God tells you what to do, when God is telling you what to do, do you really understand that is God telling you what to do? Amen? When God is telling us to stay, is God really telling us to stay? And sometimes when God tells you to move, is God really telling us to move? Sometimes we pray and we still don't hear clearly from God. So we ask ourselves when we do that, are we in the will or are we in the way that God wants us to be? Are we where God wants us to go? Now, I can plainly say that I'm hard-headed, and I can be very stubborn, and I believe that there's some people out here just like me. Amen? We found last week or a couple of weeks ago that when God talks to you, he doesn't raise his voice. Amen? When people are hard-headed and you're stubborn, we tend to raise our voice and scream at them. But God told Moses one time, stand out on the cliff. The wind went by and he wasn't in the wind. The earth shook and he wasn't in the earthquake, but he was in that small voice. Amen. When you cannot hear that small voice of God, is it possible that you're not close enough to God to hear it? Amen. God only speaks to those that are really close. When you want to know when God wants you to move or to stay, to go, God will speak to you when you're close. Amen? So in the message today, God raises up Moses and he tells Moses, listen, I want you to get them people out of bondage. I want you to lead them out of bondage. Amen? I want you to have them think in a certain way, in a different way. They don't think the way that they need to think right now. Amen? I believe that he also said, Moses, this is going to be the toughest pastorate position that you'll ever have. What you're doing is not going to be easy, but you're the man for the job. Now, Moses had been through enough. Now, even though Moses has been through enough, just like us, remember, God chose Moses when he was born. Amen. He was in a position where he should have been killed, but he was in a position of power and authority because Pharaoh's daughter raised him. The Egyptian raised him. Amen. When it was time, when it was said that all the babies, male babies, were to be killed, God placed Moses in a position that would not happen to him. Amen? So you would think that after Moses realizes this, that he would have faith enough that when God says something, to do it. Sometimes we've gone through situations and God has taken us through, and we would think that when God tells us to do something because of what he's done before, that we would have the faith to just go on and do it. But Moses didn't do that, and neither do we. Amen? But Moses knew this. Moses knew it wasn't enough for him to just make it to the promised land on his own. So Moses pressed God. Amen? He pressed God on the point, wanting exactly to know what God wanted him to do. Now, this you got to be bold when you come to God and ask him something. You got to be bold when you press God. Amen? Some of us want some things. You got to be bold when you press God. You got to be bold when what it is that you want. Amen? Moses, the scripture writer, says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know that you will, well, whom you will send with me. Moses is saying, I ain't doing this by myself. Have you ever been put on an assignment and somebody wants you to do something and you start thinking about how am I going to do it? Have you ever had the guts to say, well, I'm not doing this by myself, you know? Moses said to God, whom will you send me with me? Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Therefore, I pray that I have found grace in your sight. Moses turned the tables. He said, Lord, you have said that you know my name, and you said that you have found grace in my sight. Lord, you found grace in my sight. But now I pray that I found grace in your sight. Sometimes you have to let God know, and you have to say the very same things that he has said to you. The promises that he makes to you, the promises he says to you, you can turn to flip the switch and say the same thing to God. When you're feeling alone, maybe there's sometimes you need to say, God, you said that you never leave me nor forsake me. Amen? Moses says that maybe I found grace in your sight and consider that this nation, he said, wait a minute, these people you want me to lead? They ain't mine, you know. He says, these your people. Amen? So what I'm doing through your grace, God, and I found grace in your sight, but I'm doing it for you and the people that are your people. Maybe Moses is thinking, if I had my way, if I had my way, I'm not doing that. Have you ever been in a position where God has told you to do something and you didn't do it because you wanted to have your way? Maybe you need to turn it around and say, God, I'm going to do this because you told me to do this, but I need you to give me help because remember, you put me in charge of this job. You put me in charge of these people. You gave me this blessing. You gave me this responsibility. Amen? Moses was obsessed with God. While he was on earth, he connected everything he did with God in heaven. Now, God told Moses, get these people out of Egypt. Amen? These people were in bondage and they were comfortable. You know, there's people that you're going to talk to, people you're going to witness to, people you're going to give the word of God to, and you're going to just walk up to them and present the gospel to them of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you want to know something? They're comfortable where they're at. Even though they're in bondage, they're comfortable where they're at. Amen? These people was in bondage, and they were comfortable where they were at. They had a place to sleep, and they were guaranteed meals every day. To me, it sounds like incarceration. When you're in jail, you have a place to sleep, and you got food to eat. But you don't have no freedom. That's what you have. That's your guarantee. Some place to sleep and something to eat. But we have to realize that our lives are more than some place to sleep and something to eat. That's the bare minimum. Amen? A dog wants something, some place to sleep and something to eat. We're greater, we're higher than dogs. Amen? So now, Moses has convinced these people that we are going to leave and they're going to take a chance with Moses. And then as they leave, God uses a pillar of cloud and fire to show his presence, to give instructions and directions. Listen, he gives a pillar of cloud and fire to show his presence and to give instructions and directions. This is very important because I'm going to get into it a little later. But the scripture reading today is Exodus 13, 21 to 22, where it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And the angel of God, which went before the camp, removed the camp of Israel." Amen? After God beat down Pharaoh, and he finally relented. Remember, Pharaoh had to go through all of these pestilence, these tests, all of these things that God had to do to get him to change his mind. Finally, you see, Pharaoh would change his mind and then he'd go back on his word. Amen. So when somebody tells you something, they go back on their word. Believe you me, it's not nothing new. It's an old thing. Pharaoh said he was going to let the people go, but he did not let them go. He had to get beat down over and over and over and over again. Remember, sometimes we as people, we got to get beat down over and over and over again before we let go and let God. Amen? The Pharaoh had to let go. He finally let go. And the scripture is saying that God led the people of Israel by a cloud of fire, a pillar of cloud and fire at night. Amen? So as they went on this exodus from Egypt, they got to the point that now they're at the Red Sea. But what God did is God took the pillar and removed it from in front of them and moved it in between the children of Israel and Pharaoh and his army. Amen? You see, when they followed that cloud and that fire, they went from the south, then they went to the east, then they went back to the north. And this was confusing, amen? When they got to the Red Sea, now they're at a dead end. Have you ever been going this way and then that way, turn around, and then you come to a spot where you can't go no place no more? Amen? A dead end? So when they reach the dead end, and they know that Pharaoh is coming up on them with their army, it didn't look too good, amen? Have we been in situations where it really didn't look too good? Amen? We had a delivery today. It didn't look too good. Amen? We got a bill to pay, and sometimes it just don't look too good. Amen? But listen to what the text is saying. The angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood between them, between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. Amen? You see, one thing that God was teaching them that we need to learn today is that God was teaching them to wait. They didn't know what they were going to do. They were at a dead end. Sometimes we're at a dead end. But God is teaching you to wait. Trust in God, but you're going to have to wait. Amen? God often uses wait for protection. Sometimes God will bring you to the dead end on purpose for your own protection. He did this so they would learn a very important lesson of stopping and waiting. We don't like to stop and we don't like to wait. Have you ever been caught up in something and you had to stop and you had to wait. And then when you finally got on your journey to go somewhere, as you were going by something, had you been on that way at a certain time, the time that you wanted to go, that you would have been involved in something that would have been not too good for your health, not too good for your pocketbook, not too good for your soul. Amen? I know plenty of times that I have been upset that I had to wait, and I looked and I was told, you know, if we had been here at that time, that could have been us. That would have been us. Amen? God also did this to show the children of Israel that no matter how desperate the circumstances seem, you can always trust him for protection. Amen? I think of Mother Miles this morning, and no matter how desperate it seemed yesterday, she could trust God to protect her. Amen? When I talked to Sister Paulette, she said, don't worry. If she could walk, she'll be in tomorrow. I said, well, praise the Lord. Amen? God might be telling you to wait right now, and you don't like it. It might not be what you want, but I guarantee this, this is the best thing because God does not work in any other way. I said it's the best thing because God does not work in any other way. God does not do so-so work. God does the best thing. Amen? So when you don't understand why it's giving you the circumstances you're in, call on your mind, because that's what the enemy's going to work on, your mind. Call on your mind to be faithful, even when you don't want to be faithful. Amen? So now later on, when we get into the next book, the book of Numbers, amen? Now, they have already crossed the Red Sea. Now they're going around. They want to get to the promised land. Amen? God is still using the same things, the pillar of a cloud. Amen? He is still using the fire. Amen? In Numbers it says, and on that day, on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And that even there upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was already the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Let me explain something to you. Some people say, oh, he gave a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It is the same pillar. It is the same pillar. It just looked like it was fire by night. Amen? And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched as long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle. They rested their tents. I just want to stop right there for a second, because we have clouds in our lives. Sometimes God will tell you to do something. He'll tell you to go somewhere, and you have this big cloud that you feel is hanging over you. Amen? But when that big cloud is hanging over you, I want you to know this morning, that's the presence of God. When that cloud stops and it's just sitting on you, that somewhere in that cloud, if you get close enough to God, you can feel the presence of God. But we're not close enough to God. We turn around and we look at it like it's a negative thing. And that's when the enemy works on your mind. But when God puts you in that cloud and that cloud stops, it's time for you to get on your knees and worship God. Because when the cloud stops, the tabernacle, Moses went in the tabernacle and he worshiped. Sometimes the cloud was there for a couple of days. Sometimes the cloud was there for one day. Sometimes it might have been there for weeks at a time. But if the cloud was still over the tabernacle, it did not move. The Bible says, but when the cloud was lifted up, it was time for them to move. And when it was time for them to move, the cloud showed them the way to go. Amen? So don't look at a cloud like it's something negative hanging over you. Look to the cloud for answers. When it's hanging on top of you, get down and pray. The presence of the Lord is in the clouds. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. We look at things one way, and God has designed them a whole nother way. Amen? Sometimes you think you want to go play golf on a certain day, but it's cloudy outside, and you can't go play golf, but maybe that day you needed to be home because something was getting ready to happen. Somebody needed you that day. Somebody needed prayer. The Bible says when the tabernacle was raised up, God blessed it when they made the tabernacle. Everything was done according to God's wishes. He had specific plans for the tabernacle, and he had plans for the children of Israel. That when it was raised up, when they built it, as soon as they finished, the presence of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So when the presence of the Lord filled the tabernacle, then you know that place had room enough for God's presence. Amen? Sometimes we sing a song, Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. But I want to know, in that sanctuary of yours, has the presence of God ever been in there? Has he had room enough? Or was there too much junk in there that he couldn't fill the presence of the tabernacle of your body? Of your sanctuary. In these times, the cloud, the presence is the Holy Ghost. The presence is the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit have room in your sanctuary? Let me explain something to you. He's not going into a dirty place. God cannot bless a mess. God will not be inside or next to a mess. Amen? So when you go through things, if you're not right and you need cleansing, that's the time when that cloud is there. That's the time when he's hanging over you. That's the time he's saying, sit and be still and know that I am God. We're so busy moving around, doing so many other things that we forget about God. We forget about the Lord. And then we forget about that. When we forget, what happens is when we go through something, we forget to worship. We say, you know, when I'm going through things, when things are going well, we be like, Lord, praise will always be on my lips. But when you're going through something, is the praise on your lips? Are you still worshiping the Lord like he wants you to worship him? Amen? You see, God used this pillow, and he wanted these people to worship him. And if they didn't worship, they didn't move. Maybe you're not moving because you're not worshiping him. I'm waiting for God to move, and he waiting for you, too, to do something. Amen? Hallelujah. This is not a one-way relationship. I want you to know that. We always looking for this one-way relationship with the Lord. We'll do this and that for me. But what you going to do for him? Amen? He made you. He created you to worship him. Oh, hallelujah. We so ready to move and do what we want to do. We don't even stop and say, Lord, if you want me to do this, show me. We don't say that. We don't say, Lord, if your presence is not with me, I'm not going to do it. We just go ahead. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm here to say to somebody this morning, you need to wait for the cloud. You're looking for the sunshine, wait for the cloud. Amen? That sunshine can distract you. Wait for the cloud. We have to wait every day to see which way God wants us to move. Amen? The scripture in Hebrews talks about fixing our eyes upon Jesus Christ. Amen? When we don't fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ, we tend to move wherever we feel like moving. Amen? We must trust the Lord. We must look to him for his guidance, for his patience. We have to turn our faces upward. So many times we're looking down. Nothing down there for you. Look up to the hills from where your help is going to come from. Hallelujah. We are people. Imagine if God told you today where to move, would you hesitate? If God told you to do something, the Holy Spirit instructed you to do something, but it wasn't in your plan. You know when we get messed up, right? We get messed up when our plans get messed up. You know, you think you're going to go do something on this particular day, and somebody else thought that they had plans to do something else. And then they got plans, and you got plans, and both of your plans are messed up. Amen? And we as humans, we like predictability. So we sit down and we write plans out, we write out calendars, and we do all of this stuff. But I'm here to tell you this morning that we must follow God's plan. Amen? And God's plan is not predictable. Amen? Jesus tells us, I am the way. Amen? So when you want to know where to go, follow the way. Amen? And Jesus was our example. Amen? Because Jesus only moved when God told him to move. Jesus stayed when God told him to stay. Jesus spoke when God told him to spoke. Jesus kept silent when he was supposed to be silent. Amen? The Bible tells me that he was led to slaughter like a lamb. Yet he said not a word. If you've ever been around a slaughterhouse, you know them hogs. They're going to be making some noise. They got an idea what's getting ready to happen. They're making a lot of noise. But when you go around sheep going to slaughter, you don't hear too much. Our lamb, our sheep, Christ, as he was going to slaughter, he didn't say too much. But after they did what they did to him, he opened his mouth and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen? We must rely upon the cloud. Don't just look for it, but be expecting it. Rely upon it. Have it be looking towards the cloud that is going to come to you. Amen? I know the cloud is coming. But see, that cloud will offer you shade from the heat. You think that the cloud is going to rain. No, sometimes it's just cloudy. Amen? And all clouds are not the same color. Sometimes you look up the cloud in the sky, it's pure. It's pure white. Sometimes the cloud is gray. Sometimes the cloud looks blue. Sometimes the cloud looks different colors. A cloud is not always the same. Amen? And when clouds come into your life, Don't look at the cloud as something negative. It could be shading you from some heat. You know, some days the enemy want to give you some heat. Some days the enemy want to rain on your parade. Amen? But you look to God, and that cloud will cover you from the heat. That fire from that cloud. Amen? Sometimes it gets cold. Amen? People are cold. Nights are cold. Business is cold. People that we meet outside, that we run into, they're cold. Amen? But that fire will give you a little bit of heat when you're feeling the cold. God wants to leave you always in a place of comfort. If you need the shade, he'll give you the shade. If you need the sun, he'll give you the sun. If you need the heat, he gives you the heat. But we must trust in God. We must learn to lean on his provision. Amen? These people, amen? These people had no direction. They had no plan. And that's just like us sometimes. We have no direction and we have no plan. And therefore, we must lean on the plan of God for our lives. Sometimes we think that we have a plan. And I'm not getting a lot of amens on that, but that's okay. I'll prove it to you right now. When you first became an adult, 18, 19, 20 years old, you had plans for your life. Did they go exactly how you planned it? Don't answer. Don't answer. You don't have to answer. But when God makes a plan, that plan is going to go through. That plan, no matter what comes, no matter what circumstances, it's going to come through. You see, the plan that God had for your life is coming through right now. It's not the way that you planned it, but it's the way that God planned it. Amen? So when we trust in God, when we understand that his plans are different, that we understand that when he says go, that we go. The clouds in your life right now, you got some clouds right now. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody's got some clouds right now. That cloud is the Holy Spirit trying to lead you someplace that you need to be. And when that cloud stops you, it sits on you, you complaining and not understanding what is going on because you're looking to your own mindset. Instead of saying, God, what is it that you want me to see? What is it that you want me to sit still for? What is it you want me to recognize? Am I not working the way that you want me to work? Amen? When we have broken relationships, that cloud sits on you. When we get bad news from a physician, that cloud sits on you. When we can't pay bills, when our future seems uncertain, that cloud sits on you. It is at times as those that we should be worshiping the Lord, that we should be seeking the Lord, that we should say, God, I will not make a decision or do anything about anything unless you're going with me. You go to the doctor and the doctor wanted to give you this medicine and that medicine, do this and that. Say, God, I'm not doing anything unless you're with me. Sometimes people want to pay your bills and give you some money. Before you take that money, Lord, I'm not touching a thing unless you sanctify it and say it's mine. Amen? Man don't want to give you something for nothing. You need to recognize. And when somebody got their hand in your pocket, they got you. They got you. They'll be pulling strings and pulling some stuff you never thought of. Amen? When God puts us out there, amen? Don't you know that there'll be some times that God will put you out there and they're not going to be easy times. But when he definitely puts you out there, he promises his presence will be with you. Amen? You don't have to wonder where God is. If you go, he puts you out there and you struggle, you don't have to worry about where God is. He's right there with you. If you go through an illness and God puts you out there, you don't have to worry about where he's at. He's right there with you. Don't wonder where is God in the struggle. Amen. God is always in the struggle with you. God wanted to be in the struggle with us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to understand our struggles. He put him in the wilderness so he'll understand when we go in the wilderness the things that we're going to feel. Amen. So when God tells you to go, understand it is a wilderness experience that you're going to go through. Amen. So you go, but you don't know. Amen. It's a wilderness experience, but he's not going to put you out there by yourself. Amen. In the midst of your wilderness experience, God will move into the wilderness to walk with you, to talk with you, to equip you. God understands what you're going through. Amen. The writer of Hebrews put it this way. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. You see, sometimes we use excuses to do the things that we do because nobody understands. But the writer of Hebrews says we have a high priest. We got Jesus Christ, who understands every temptation, every situation, every circumstance that we go through. And he did it all and did not sin. So that means all of the excuses, they got to go. So long, bye-bye. All of the excuses have got to go. Because when you get in that situation, the Bible is saying that we look up to the don't look at me. Don't just listen to what I say. I might have a word from God, but I ain't God. You know? That's my position. I might have a word from him, but I'm not him. Amen? Look up to the hills from when your help cometh. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody. I don't know. And you know there's no shortcuts to grace. There's no shortcuts. When Jesus came down here, he didn't take any shortcuts. Amen? He didn't say, I'm going to go through this crucifixion, all of this in one day. He says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so will the Son of Man. Amen? 3 days. We know he could have did it in one day. We know he didn't even have to do it. There's no shortcuts. Amen? If you want victory to overcome this world, there's no shortcuts. When God leads you, be prepared for the journey. It is not a short walk. We used to the short walk. But your life is a journey. Amen? It's a journey. Everything that you do is a journey. When God is with you, it's a journey. On your journey, you're going to have some good days. And you're going to have some bad days. You're going to have some days when the sun is shining, and you're going to have some days where it's cloudy on the outside. But when God is with you, it's always sunshine on the inside. Oh, hallelujah. So the day does not dictate your joy. The day and people, places, and things do not dictate what God has placed inside of you. Amen? We need to be quiet sometimes and just say, Lord, you lead, I follow. We want to be the leader so many times. You just need to say, Lord, you lead, I follow. I want to know this morning, are you willing to go where God leads you? Are you willing to go where God is leading you today? If you are, stand up. Let me just speak to you this morning. If you're willing to go where God leads you, I'm here to tell you this morning, that it's going to be strenuous. It's going to be some hard work. Going to be some hard work involved. Oh, hallelujah. But God didn't make you a weakling. It's going to be hard going sometimes. He's going to tell you to go, and you're not going to feel like going. And it's going to be hard. Sometimes you got to get up out of your bed and go, and you don't feel like going. Sometimes you got to get up and answer the phone, and you don't feel like answering. Sometimes you got to go pray for somebody that you don't like. But you better go. Sometimes you got to take a $5 bill, a $10 bill, a $20 out of your pocket and just give it to somebody because God said, bless that person. Sometimes you got to pray with somebody's children for their children and you don't like that kid. Sometimes in your own positions in the hospital, you might necessarily not be able to go walk in the room and pray for somebody because you know what their medical condition is. But you can walk by the door in prayer. You can do that for that neighbor that you despise, that nosy neighbor. Just walk by in prayer. That man, that woman who's disrespected you, that did something to you that you don't like, that you're still holding on, let it go. Let God. And pray for them. Come on, somebody. Are you willing to go where God is leading you? Because God is leading you out of your own thinking. Your own thinking is the thing that is keeping you down in the pits. Your own thinking, your own Egypt right now. Because these things, I tell you how you can know what your Egypt and what these things are. As soon as they happen, as soon as you see them, as soon as you hear them, your whole disposition changes. You could be happy, but you hear this person's voice and you're off somewhere else. You see this person and you're off somewhere else. Somebody that asks you for money and you're off somewhere else. Somebody that needs to be blessed, you refuse to bless them. Somebody that needs to be prayed for and you refuse to pray for them. But when you're able to overcome, that's when you will walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because then you're cleaning out the garbage. Amen? You're cleaning it out. You, if you brought a house and that house is yours, the person that was there before, you don't want their garbage. You don't want to buy a house that somebody left all of this trash in. You say, clean it out so I could put my own stuff in there. God is saying that to you this morning. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Clean it out this morning. You want the presence of the Holy Spirit, you got to clean it out this morning. Hallelujah. If you don't do that, you're really not truly able to go where God wants to lead you. Amen. If you can't do that, then you can never truly get the blessings that God wants to give you. Amen. His blessings are so full, there's so many that he wants to give you and you and you each in your own individual way. But if you got the garbage, he can't do that. So I'm going to ask you this morning that as we stand here this morning, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, and I'm not talking about a relationship, I'm talking about the right relationship. Amen? because I believe we all got a relationship, but there's a right relationship. You know, you could have you could have friends, but there's the right friend. You could have a girlfriend and it's the right girlfriend, the right boyfriend or whatever. But you have the right relationship with them. In other words, you could talk, you can get along with one another. You don't have to see eye to eye because you don't understand them, but it's still right. There's nothing negative. Amen? God wants to have the right relationship with you where you can talk. You're not going to always see eye to eye with God, but you trust him. You trust him. I said this yesterday, and I'm going to say it again today. You need to become open. And you can only be open with God. Open. Only positive. Eliminate negative. Open. It's time for us to get open with God. Things in your relationship with God, there's no negativity in it. If it is, something's wrong. God is only positive. And God allows you to agree to disagree with him, but don't disagree with God. And what he does, because he knows better than me and you. So if you don't have the right relationship, I'm going to pray with you this morning, the prayer of salvation. And then we're going to pray over our circumstances. We're going to pray that we can walk and let God use us the way that he wants to use us. That God will open up the doors, the windows of heavens, and pour out blessings and blessings and blessings for us. Oh, hallelujah.